Blog Talk Radio.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Oh. Why can't you see? Oh, what you doing to me? Oh, when you don't believe a word I'm saying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. And we can't build our dreams on suspicious minds.
That's not nice.
I know. Andy, where you at? Hey, Chet.
Hey.
How you doing?
How are we doing? How are we doing?
We're doing great. We're doing fine.
I figured we'd play a little Elvis. I was debating whether we should play the whole song or not, but yeah, you know, we've heard a lot of Elvis. Gotta love Elvis. This is Andy of the Andy and Amanda Show. We remind us Amanda today because she's a little under the weather, but that's okay. We're going to let her rest and hope she feels better.
No.
And we'll see her back here on Monday. Our show number is 515-605-9888. Feel free to join the conversation. We have stuff to talk about today, some exciting news. We have some cool tunes. We're only going to do an hour show today. And it is Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah for all those who celebrate Hanukkah. We're celebrating
Happy
here.
Hanukkah, everybody. It's been long.
I've got a dinner to prepare, and that's one of the reasons why we're cutting the show early today. So anyway, but there is a lot to talk about, and we're going to have some pretty cool tunes to talk about too. Did you guys hear, we do have Chet with us, you know, from Hawaii. Chet, you're here, right? I heard him.
I keep hearing
him back there. Yeah, I thought I heard you, and we do have Cornell here.
Yes.
We have a lot to talk about.
Let's talk
about
it,
Andy. Have you heard the news about the Supreme Court ruling?
Tell me.
They rejected the Texas filings regarding overturning tens of millions of votes. And really, for all intent and purposes, Trump has zero chance of overturning our democracy, overthrowing our election process. It ain't going to happen. Biden will be the president. It always was official. Well, we've never. Hey, come on, we've told the truth since before the election that Biden was going to win this thing, and we kind of had a lot of fun with it and laughed along the way because we knew anything to the contrary would be a joke. And the polls predicted it. We predicted on the show on April 16th, we called the election to the numbers of the actual electoral count. I think we were off by the percentages by a little bit. But anyway, we called it on the show. The polls all predicted it, and the results were not surprising to anybody except those who really – you know, in a very deep, heartfelt, you know, passionate way, needed Trump to win this election. It wasn't about country. It was about Trump. That's a whole psychology. We'll talk about that ongoingly, I'm sure. But the fact of the matter is that Trump is not going to be president after January 20th. Biden will be the 46th president of the United States of America. The Electoral College will meet on Monday. They will decide. They will vote, and they'll put him in accordingly. And I guess all those folks that went out to raise all this conspiracy bullshit will go back to the caves and crawl into the cracks from where they came. And I wish them well and hope they recover, hope they're okay. I wonder sometimes. But that's kind of exciting news. So, again, the Supreme Court ruled today, and including the three nominees that Trump put in, Amy Coney Barrett, he thought, wow, we got to get her in because she could be the deciding – she could be the deciding factor for my, you know, because he knew all along he was going to take this thing to the Supreme Court. He said even before the election he was going to take this election to the Supreme Court, right? So he was in a rush to get that judge in there, you know, despite what everybody said when Biden had a choice, you know, a nomination to make 9 months left with his presidency, and the Republicans all said, oh, we can't do it. The next administration should come in. They should have a voice. And we all went over that, and we know how that turned out. And
he's going to say that's big news, right? Sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah, every justice unanimously said, yes, this is not going to happen. Donald, sorry. You're out of here. Bye. Bye. And we wish him
goodbye.
His issue is going to be now, not in a federal investigation, which I don't know where that's going to go, and there's still a debate as to whether he could pardon himself from a crime he hasn't been indicted for yet. Can he preemptively say, I'm innocent of anything I might do or be convicted of? That's a legal debate. But anyway, aside from that, he has no jurisdiction over the attorney, U.S. Attorney General from the Southern District of New York, who is investigating his business activities, the Trump company, the Trump organization's business activities, potential money laundering, tax fraud, the fundraising, the Trump inauguration nonprofit committee that charged the United States government $175,000 for a room that normally rents for $5,000. He's going to have to handle a debt between $420 and $480 million. So that's what his life's going to look like after January 20th. Wish all the best with that, Donald. Can we talk? You know what I mean?
Yeah, come on to Andy and Amanda's show.
Yeah, Donald, come on our show. Come on our show. Anyway, you know what occurred to me?
Better if Joe came on our show.
Yeah, I'd love to get Joe on our show.
We've been trying.
We have tried.
I'd like to ask him about some of his appointments.
What, his dentist appointment or his dermatologist?
Well, the planet killer he's appointing to the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, I heard.
Really bothers the hell out of me.
Yeah, talk about that, Chet, because that's been in the news. I was listening to it and, of course, read about it yesterday before it was official. Tell us about that.
Version is that in order to deal with global warming and catastrophic global climate destabilization, we need a two-prong approach. One, we have to cut using fossil fuels down by at least 50% by 2030, and we have to increase sequestration of carbon from the atmosphere, which could be done with regenerative agricultural practices taking the place of the fossil fuel chemical industry, big ag, and the meat industry, and at least the majority of the farm or the factory raised meat, and restoration of wild wilderness areas and wetlands. And that, with a combination of doing both of those, we could get the carbon neutral by 2030, which is when the scientists say we have to do it, not the drag your feet 2050 that Biden and the rest of them are talking about. That's too late. So anyway, half of that is cutting fossil fuels, which a lot of that would be just cutting subsidies and tax breaks for fossil fuels and make them have to pay their own way. And the ag piece, though, is equally as important. Tom Vilsack, who is Biden's appointee for Department of Agriculture, although one could wonder how much power he really will have, but he has also been known as Mr. Monsanto for his tireless support of the fossil fuel chemical-infused big ag that is a major cause of the problem and a major impediment to a solution. So that's the quick version. I was very disappointed. He was Obama's Department of our Ag Secretary. So another retread from the Obama-Clinton era.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was the senator, he was Big Ag's best friend. He's universally loathed by organic agriculture, organic farmers,
etc. Yeah.
So this was a very bad sign, very bad sign.
Yeah, there's some a lot of internal turmoil.
What do you have to say about that, Joe?
Yeah, there's some internal turmoil regarding that appointment. Not so much the others, but that one for sure. You know, well, you know what? During his entire administration, the next 4 years, there's going to be some things that we like and some things that we don't like. We'll move on. But no matter how you slice it or dice it, whatever he does, it ain't going to hold a candle to the destruction and to the character that we've witnessed of the current administration over the past 4 years. I mean, I'll take it. I'd take Donald Duck with no appointments over Trump.
Well, that's kind of what we're getting.
You know what's interesting? You know, can Trump's scheme to overturn the 2020 results become a crime? You know, in other words, demands to toss ballots to overturn our democracy, when or does that become sanctionable, punishable, or criminal? Is there, and we've discussed that here, is there an accountability? You know, well, with these cases that are going nowhere, that have gone nowhere, we now have had two branches of the government in on a basically, you know, one was trying to steal the race, trying to steal the results of the United States election. And there's even been one Republican congressman who relayed that Trump has been asking him to contact all the members of the Republican House, asking them to join him and join that list. Trump awaiting that final list of names. And the question is, does that become an attack on the rule of law? You know, does it? And depending on the
so
calendar.
Far there's, there's no indication that he's broken any laws.
No.
Or his legal team. There's no law against filing lawsuits, even frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, oh, sure. Well, they get tossed out, which 50 of them did. 50 of them did get tossed out. They filed them, and they got tossed out. There was no well, they say, where's the beef? But let me explain this, though.
One of them worked. Mm-hmm. He got a little bit closer for the observers in one of the state elections. So
yes,
one,
he did
one
in Pennsylvania.
They worked.
6 inches closer in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, see? But let me try to explain this. There is a time for fighting during the campaign. We know that. Hey, that's part of the process. There is a fine time for disputing when there is an open legal challenge, but then an election gets certified, which this election did get certified. Then there's no remaining active legal question. After the election is certified, it's done. So that is the point of which, under the rule of law, you do accept the results, especially if you're a member of the government, if you are a member of the government. And we know what it is supposed to look like, right? Because there's a president.
But it's still not official.
Well, it'll be official Monday.
It's not official until the fat lady sings. Until the Electoral
Monday.
College meets and registers
right.
their vote. We
that,
don't
that's
elect
happen
the president.
Monday.
The Electoral
that's correct.
College does next Monday.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But all the states certified the results as being true and correct. They all did.
California was the last one a few days ago.
Yeah, go figure that.
Yeah.
It may have been because I may have held them up a little bit with my, you know, passing out of the Kona beers
are,
here.
Are you
know.
The one? You were still filling in your ballot, huh?
I am. I got it right here in front of me. My mail-in ballot. I'm still doing it. I'm trying to make the damn thing out. You see all the propositions on this thing. But,
oh, God.
You know what's interesting?
That's mostly what I had.
We've been living through a time period, though, of turf. I mean, the last couple of weeks that – you remember Al Gore versus Bush? And after all the legal challenges ended, Gore did the opposite of what Donald Trump did. He even presided over the House counting of that final Electoral College vote. And I remember people stood up and they protested and they said, oh, you know, and Al Gore said, sir, sit down, sir, sit down, sit down, sir, sit down. And Al
Which
Gore
Which is exactly what Mike Pence is going to do on January 6th. No, he will. He'll stand there and he'll say,
yeah.
This is the result of the EC. Joe Biden's going to be the president.
Yeah. He's going to, Pence is going to do that. Oh, I can't wait to see that. I can't. We'll play the video, the audio clip. I guess it'll be Wednesday's show or maybe Monday's show. We'll probably play the audio of that on Monday. That'll be great. But you look at Al Gore and how he handled that, and he could have challenged that. I don't, you know, that was the Supreme Court elected, decided the, you know, I think you mentioned that about a month ago, how that turned
Sandra
out.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yep. But look at that.
One vote.
Yep, that's right. A total contrast to what is happening with Donald Trump versus Gore. We see a blatant defiance of the rule of law. We have attorneys now calling for the people who have been pushing this past the point of acceptable argument to be disbarred. And here's what I mean by that. And they cite three rules of the formal American Bar. This is American Bar Association, not the rule of law. It's American Bar Association. That they say Donald Trump's lawyers, some of them, have violated making a false statement of material fact or law to a third person defending a proceeding without a basis in law, in fact, and engaging in contact that involved dishonesty, fraud, deceit, and misrepresentation. That these are open debates, and I'm not saying here now what the answer to these questions should be, because I don't know. Hey, I'm a guitar player, right? But,
nice if we had a democracy.
Wouldn't it? Because we wouldn't be asking these questions if we did. That is God. But for those who are wondering, are there any potential consequences? This is one set of potential consequences, and whether or not you think these lawyers violate professional rules as attorneys, that's the question that's going to be more relevant. And you know, as we look ahead, as the American Bar Association looks ahead,
you
look at Mr. Giuliani. You know, actually, because of the way Mr. Giuliani carried on, including the oil coming out of his head, that's probably the, and giving the press conference in front of the porn shop there in Pennsylvania.
Really?
He should be disbarred just for that.
I mean, Andy, you sure you wasn't next to him?
but he went to court with nothing, you know. And I'm not talking about the rule of law, you know, as Chet and I were just saying earlier. I'm talking about the American Bar Association rules of conduct.
Yes.
You know, they lost badly and repeatedly. The professional question of whether beyond the loss he continued to say outright falsehoods and depictions in the practice of law. You know, that's an open one and a serious one. And then there's how about Sidney Powell, who proved to be so fact-free and so wrapped up in conspiracy, asserting things that could also be sanctionable. She's an attorney, right? Sanctionable, having said under oath that even President Trump began to distance himself from her. The Trump legal team said, Sidney who? Right? Where'd she go suddenly? How'd she just, you notice she disappeared? Right? And then they hold up the biblical part.
Her purpose.
Yeah. and then he tried to match the.
Tomorrow is the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of Bush v. Gore.
Wow.
Is that
so
something?
It wasn't until December 12th, 2000,
wow,
that the Supreme Court ruled and gave the election to Bush in order to not deprive him of his civil rights.
Yeah, it's happened. Yeah. But, you know, we have to, you know, getting back again, that just look at all the attorneys, all the news releases we've seen, all the people behind the podiums and spewing all the conspiracy theories and making all these legal. These are professional
that
attorneys
doesn't happen.
pleading a case. And there could be sanctionable conduct there. And, of course, there will be a time limit to that because, well, let's face it, Trump folks got her out of their legal team. She disappeared, right? When was the last time you saw Sidney? What's her name? Powell. And then you have Rudy Giuliani. Can we talk? Right?
Virus took him down.
Oh, my God.
No respect.
Unbelievable. No respect at all. Hey, you know what I want to do? We had a request for – that's just my 2 cents. I just had to get that off my chest because it's more than –
that's
more
freedom
than the
of speech,
law.
The First Amendment.
This is Kimball's Corner here. We're going to have Kimball's Corner on the show where I get to, you know, hit, right? Okay, so anyway, these are things that I just want to say. We've made predictions in the past of things that are going to be looked at, things you're going to be hearing about in the news, and you're going to be hearing about this and the relationship between these attorneys and the American Bar Association as we move ahead. You know where you heard it first, folks, right here on the Indian Amanda Show. What I also want to do, you're not going to hear this first because you've heard this a lot of times, and this is a – what is this? What are we about to do just now? Do you remember what I said we're going to do?
You said that you was going to play the Rolling Stones.
I did?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I have a quote here from Rudy, by the way.
Oh, I want to hear
Giuliani.
It. Go ahead.
Rudy Giuliani leaves hospital after receiving same drug cocktail as Trump. He said, "The minute I took the cocktail, I felt 100% better."
Really?
How much vodka was in it?
Hopefully not more than what I have.
that $250,000 cocktail.
How much?
That was the estimate I saw on the treatment Trump got. That didn't count the luxury suite at the medical center.
Wow.
But around $250,000, $300,000.
Really? Wow. So, Chet, what's going on in Hawaii?
It's sunny at the moment.
Okay. What time is it?
It's around 3:20 in the p.m. of the afternoon.
Yeah.
And we're still masked, and a lot of us old folks are still hunkered down, although they're opening up the tourism a little bit, so the caseload went up like everybody else, but not anywhere near what's happening on the mainland.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you hear about the Boston Conference that was the largest spreader event ever with infecting 333,000 people?
Wow.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
The Boston Conference, a big conference they had in Boston, a professional conference. That linked as many as it was a medical conference held in Boston, a medical conference out of all things, linked
wow.
as many as actually the count. They say as many as 300,000. I think the actual count's going to be closer to 333,000 because major events were among the first things to go when the coronavirus first started spreading around the world in February. Remember their concerts and conferences and gatherings and, you know, outdoor events and political rallies in Boston. There was one medical conference on February. Don't quote me, but I think it was the 26th or 27th. It was right in there on both days. It was a conference, as a medical conference. I don't remember what.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so right around there, you can look it up. I forget when, but it's the end of February, and it continued as planned. And this is really before the, you know, the March, hey, lockdown, you know, even though Trump knew about all this February 8th. But anyway, there were more than 100 cases of COVID tied to the event at the time.
Mm.
And from that, contact tracers and a team of scientists using genetic sequencing to track the continued spread of the strain of coronavirus from that spreader event. And it went much, much further. As a matter of fact, they continued those traces until November 1st of this year and determined that somewhere between at that time, November 1st, and we're going to continue this to December, 11th. But as of November 1st, there were between 205 and 300,000 coronavirus cases across the United States that can be tracked back to that specific conference. That was November. All right. Here we are on December 11th, 333,000 cases from a medical conference that happened February
20th. And that's in Boston?
That was in Boston. Now, well, those aren't cases in Boston, right?
Yes.
That's a medical conference that happened. People traveled from everywhere to attend this conference. And I don't remember what it was. It was a medical conference. That's all I know. But anyway.
Wow. Speaking of Boston, Andy and Chet, I guess is from Boston, and he's the owner of Sama Optical. His name is Chris Carabellas. He'll be on the show as a guest Monday, and he's from Boston. Maybe he could tell us something that's going on in Boston, too.
Here, I found that it was a Biogen conference. Meeting of managers held at Boston Marriott Long Wharf Hotel. Send 100 attendees home with the coronavirus.
Hey, we're going to hear. We have a short show today, so there's some tunes I want to get to, and we also have our great friend, our movie producer, videographer, sound man, production expert in Philadelphia, right outside of Philadelphia, I think. C1 is with us. We're going to get him on the show in just a couple minutes. And I know he's probably disappointed being that Biden's going to be the president. We told him that. But anyway, we did tell him. We told him. We did tell him that. You can't say we didn't. But anyway, we told him it's going to happen. But anyway, we're going to hear, by request, we're going to put the Rolling Stones on our show. And this is a spectacular version recorded live. Of the tune called Gimme Shelter here on the Amandy. You know, that's the second time we did that. The Amandy and Andy
Andy and Wambi.
Amanda and Wambi.
You got, you know.
I went to Altamont.
Did you go to Altamont, really?
I actually did, yes.
Oh, my God.
I was there. Me
can
and 299,999 other people.
Wow. Can you just tell us what that was like real quick? Because some people don't even know what that was. So maybe you should just briefly say what that was about.
It was going to be the Rolling Stones had it all set up to go in Marin, and then the Marin City or County Fathers said, no, not here. So they had to run around and find another venue. It's going to be a big free concert with, I think, Jefferson Airplane and a bunch of other people, and then the Stones headlining. And they ended up at this little, out in the middle of nowhere, way past Livermore, Altamont Pass. There was an Altamont Quarter Mile Speedway, which is a dirt track. And so I put my first ex-wife on the back of my Bonneville Triumph, and we drove across the bridge, Dumbarton Bridge, over and found this big old festival there. Got there just as the airplane was finishing, and then it took forever for the Stones to set up. And then they started playing. It was getting darker, and we looked at each other and said, boy, this is a bummer. And got back on the bike and went across the median, got on the westbound 580, and then snuck our way past the five-car pileup and headed on back home.
Yeah, there was, of course, the Hell's Angels were there's a movie called
Give Me Shelter.
Give Me Shelter.
Hired the Angels to do security, which most of the time worked out for people.
Yeah.
But the big mistake is they gave them all the booze and drugs at the beginning of the whole day. So by the time one of them killed the guy in front of the stage, they were pretty far gone.
Yeah. Unbelievable. That was a great movie, by the way. If you like the Rolling Stones, want to see some great footage of the early Rolling Stones, oh, man, is that a good movie. And the sound is terrific. I remember standing in line at a theater in Philadelphia in high school waiting to see that film with my girlfriend at the time. We cut school to go see it. Amazing. Anyway, we're going to hear, and you know...
Listen, this is the way it is.
Ask China. It is the way it is. So what we're going to do is hear a live version of a great, maybe one of the best versions of the song Give Me Shelter by the Rolling Stones. I'll say it right this time on the Andy and Amanda program here on Coast to Coast Blog Talk Radio. The Rolling Stones, Give Me Shelter.
Thank you.
Dinner from the most incredible barbecue restaurant in Los Angeles in South Pasadena. The place is called Gus's Barbecue. Incredible. My friends have visited. I want to thank them for providing an amazing dinner, Hanukkah dinner tonight for my family. And
awesome.
The folks at Gus's are just terrific. And we got a big order of brisket and a bunch of sides and some cornbread and some deviled eggs and
barbecue
salads.
Barbecue latkes?
Barbecue. Yeah, my daughter, I think, is making latkes. What are latkes? Potato? You know, you think I'd know this stuff, right?
My daughter made me some latkes, potato pancakes.
Latkes, yeah. Woo. The Jewish atheist boy that I am.
Sour cream and apple
pie.
Right.
Hey, we have C1 on the line from outside of Philadelphia. Welcome back to the show, C1. How you doing, man?
Hey, TC.
What's
how
going
you
on,
brother?
What's up, everybody?
How you feeling, C1?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm all right.
Good.
I'm all right.
I know.
And yourself?
I know.
How you feeling?
Yeah, we're doing great. I was thinking of you because I got, the acting in the entertainment business here for, you know, I do acting work and music work here in L.A., and normally I'd be busy with that, but I haven't doing anything, which is why we're doing the show. But anyway, but actually I got two auditions yesterday. I was thinking of you. I think because I had to tape them. I had to self-tape all that stuff, and I was thinking of the shows I used to be involved in the pilot projects, the casting show, and that – the show based upon the Les Aben book Paper Wings that I want to talk to you about. But as this COVID virus begins to wind down, I mean, still, you know, we can't, you know, dismiss the tragedy and the horrible deaths and the destruction and the, you know, to lives, you know, in this country and of course around the world. And but it is going to come to an end. There will be a time when we do resume some degree of normal life. And you and I are going to get in touch when that when that happens, because we got some biz to talk about, movie and film and TV show production, right? And I want to give you a plug, folks. If on the East Coast, tell us about what you do there, C1.
Right now I'm into cinematography and video editing. Pretty much it at the moment. Like you said, it's kind of dead right now. So
yeah,
hoping that January, this coming January, we can stop pretending.
Yep.
And playing this COVID game. because I'm tired of playing the game. I was tired of playing it in April.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much what that is.
Yep.
I was hearing you guys a little bit earlier, man. I see Texas lost
mm-hmm.
or was denied in the Supreme Court and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
no standing. Yeah.
Am I the only person who's getting to see all of the fraud that's been coming out?
Or I guess so.
Like, you know, like, am I just like a weirdo?
I think you're the only person.
Because
not a
I know that I mean, are you guys aware that, you know, YouTube yesterday said that they're going to censor anybody who speaks on the election in certain ways and who doesn't say doesn't go with the mainstream narrative, they're going to delete accounts and delete videos.
I didn't see that. No.
Is anybody aware of that?
No.
I'm sure nobody. I'm sure nobody's hearing about that because the mainstream is not pumping that stuff, and they're not showing.
Of course, they've been doing
that
stuff against those on the left for decades.
What happened?
They've been doing that stuff against those of us on the left for 20 years.
Where? YouTube hasn't been around 20 years.
Well, I mean,
so what are you
just,
talking about?
In general, the corporate Google and YouTube. YouTube's
where?
Owned by Google.
Google's been doing it to the left for 20 years. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Where? Show me an example.
Well,
it's pretty much on Google, you can say anything you want. At the left can say anything
they
want.
Unless your name, you get demonetized. If your name is Jimmy Dore or Kyle Kalinske or, you know, there are a whole bunch
about?
Of them. Glenn Greenwald.
And what do they speak on?
Pardon?
What do they speak on?
They just tell truth to power.
Such as?
Basically.
Like, what do they speak on? Like you're saying they're on the left. What is truth to power such as?
Well, such as Jimmy Dore is really down on the Democrats right now.
I know Jimmy Dore.
But he's they're punching left, so he's punching back. And then
And Jimmy Dore is more like he's playing left because his opinions
and his
views
are.
No,
he's the real deal.
Okay.
But he's a comedian, so he he plays it for laughs. Lee Camp
exactly.
is
he's playing it for laughs. He's playing it for laughs.
Just
he's
like
not
Trump.
Serious.
Trump isn't serious.
How isn't Trump serious?
He's playing that reality TV porn role that he's been doing ever since NBC taught him how back at the beginning of The Apprentice.
How so?
Just by saying outrageous stuff just to piss people off. That's his whole MO. That's all he's been doing.
How so? Because listen to this. There's a lot more people that haven't been pissed off that like what he says. And that's according
to a lot more people than what?
Not the illegal votes. Not the illegal votes that came in. Not the illegal votes that the Democrats used on the mail-in vote ballot.
Well, if you're going to go by votes, 75 million say that he's an idiot, and 70 million agree with him.
Excuse me?
If you want to go by votes, 75 million said he's an idiot, and 70 million agreed with Trump, and that wasn't enough.
70 million agreed with Trump. Wait, 70 million said he was an idiot.
No, 75 million.
75
actually, I think
million
seven.
Said he's an idiot and voted
for Biden.
For what? For Biden? And you really, as an adult, you really believe Joe Biden got 75 million votes? And you can say that with a clear mind, clear conscience.
No, I truly believe that 75 million, the majority of whom voted against Trump,
you really
they're
believe
sick of his
that.
Act.
You really believe that? It's like, fake news and propaganda.
Him.
Propaganda is thick because this goes against common sense.
I know,
sense.
You've been listening to it, brother.
You've been listening to propaganda, brother. It's mathematically impossible.
You're listening to propaganda. You're all wrapped up in all this conspiracy theory.
It's mathematically impossible.
He lost 50 lawsuits.
There's 220,000 eligible voters and 220 million eligible voters.
Yo, it's disgusting.
145 million voted.
It's disgusting. Like,
here's the thing.
You thought that Joe Biden couldn't even run. Joe Biden held no rallies. He held nothing. He couldn't even.
That doesn't mean people didn't vote for him.
And you can go on the analytics and see that nobody even watches him. Even online.
So that means nobody voted for him? Does that mean nobody voted for him?
Yes, that's real life.
It's not real life, Steve.
And you mean to tell me that all those hundreds of thousands of people that watched Trump, nobody showed up?
Here's the thing. Come on, man. Guys, hold on a second. Here's the fact. Biden won the election. America spoke. We predicted on this show in April.
Biden did not win the election. That's what you're saying, because that's what the mainstream media is feeding you. But Biden did not win the election.
It's called a democracy. It's called the Democrats cheating.
And people without people with low integrity and people that just are out.
All right, I had to cut him off. I'm sorry. I had to cut you off, C1. I'm sorry. If you want to, we don't tolerate that on the show. If you're going to spew conspiracy, spew lies, they lost 50 lawsuits, C1. 50, he left 50 lawsuits. And to get somebody on here who wants to live, and the fact that every judge 50, across the country, Arizona.
Andy, but that's his right, though. You know what I mean?
No, it's his right, but here's the thing. We're not going to allow the spewing of lies on the show. That's not what we do. We're about truth, right? If he feels that, he's going to spew, and if he's going to say it as fact that more people didn't vote for who's running again? Trump versus – who was it?
Nothing versus less than nothing is what I –
Yeah, something
posted.
Like that. You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
If he called back, let him back on. Let him speak.
Oh, he won't call back.
It's interesting, though. It is interesting because it's really – well, you know what I expect in January? One thing I do expect is that once, you know, Trump's fat ass disappears into the helicopter and gets flown over to Andrews and then flies down to Mar-a-Lago to go play golf again, you know, once the irritant is removed from the pearl or from the, clam, oyster, then the healing will begin. I mean, Biden is, if anything, rather innocuous, which is a good thing after 4 years of the spewing of the reality TV porn that Trump's been doing.
Yeah.
So I really expect that 90% of the people who voted for, or even more, who voted for Donald Trump after January. And of course, it's wonderful. Americans have the shortest attention span on Earth. So after January, people are just going to go back to business as usual, pretty much. And 99.9% of all this public hatred, which has been a great deal of it, like I say, fed by Trump from the White House. And reciprocated by the other side, using it as a political tool.
Yep.
People are going to go back to being people, which is what mainly are.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I agree with you.
I saw this after Nixon left. I saw it after Reagan Bush left. We're going to see it again.
Yes, we will. But really, what it goes to show you, when you look at the population, you're looking at 70 million people thereabouts who voted for Trump. Now here's the deal, though. Doesn't mean that 70 million people believe that the election was stolen. That is not the case at all.
That
there are very many, very, very fine Republicans who accept the results, accept our democracy, have respect for our system of government, respect the Homeland Security, who said there was no broad-based evidence of fraud, respect the Attorney General of the United States, who said there is no evidence of fraud, respect all the United States appointed judges, many by Trump himself, who said these cases cannot stand, we're dismissing them, there's no evidence. But you get people out there. Now, so given that, it's been thrown out by every court in the land, every attorney general, every attorney who knows his stuff outside of those who – the small group that's for some reason hanging around Trump – knows that this election was secure. We have the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. We told the numbers, I think it was the last show – I think it was the last show – of the percentage of election fraud in this country – compared to how many voters in the population of the country, and what a very small number it is. And this election, according to the Department of Homeland Security, was even considered to be more secure than previous elections. And for somebody's vote, such as mine, my family, my friends, you're telling me mail-in ballots were fraudulent, were trash trucks came up at 4 in the morning and people carried in ballots.
That's all we have in my state.
Is trash trucks?
It was all mail-in.
All mail-in. And then this thing about this minion servers in Germany, and the army raided and got a server and saw the, you know, these conspiracies and these lies and these stories that are disputed and dismissed by every credible court.
My favorite was that Hugo Chavez came back from the dead and
Hugo Chavez came
stole
back.
The election.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is,
for the
and
Democrats
we predicted
that he hated.
Again, we predicted on the show in April that. You know, it'd be way before the election. We're talking April. We predicted that that Trump was not going to remain the president. We predicted – not only did we predict it, we called the actual tally correctly. Now, how were we able to do that and then have people come back and say it was fraudulent that it happened when we based our numbers on reality? In April, folks. And then you come back and say our numbers were wrong, that it was fraudulent. Our numbers were based in truth and, in fact, in real numbers. And the real polls.
That's
and
kind
the
of suspicious,
of the
Andy.
Hmm?
That's kind of suspicious. If we call,
now, tell
if,
me about
if
it.
We were calling it so close, and then that's what actually happened. I feel a little worried about that.
Hey, we're not done. We're going to have some other predictions. I think you're going to
Fox
see.
Box 13.
You bet.
I ran down. Posted a couple times a breakdown of what I'd say. Are the classes of the 70 million folks who voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it looked like, you know, the uber rich and very affluent, the ones who really made out with that massive tax cut that Ryan and McConnell gave them. That's one group, small group. Then there's a larger number of more affluent people who work in the military-industrial complex, Wall Street, the remedial sick care industry, and other elements of corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the tax cuts and their stocks are doing great. And that's the bunch that also won when Bernie Sanders was blocked. Long-term born and bred Republicans, the vote red no matter who group. That are sort of the reverse of the vote blue, no matter who crowd, the folks who can't conceive of ever voting for any Democrat. There's a large group of those. And then the largest group I saw is working class folks who watch their towns crumble, jobs go away to be replaced by lower paying shit jobs, if any. Their health care harder to access and more expensive. Their education systems crumbling and starved. The real cost of living increasing, the wars rage on, no matter which brand is in office. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired, still want to shake things up instead of a return to the bipartisan status quo ante that fucked them over. And the smallest group is the hardcore white supremacist, racist gun nuts, energized by Trump's enabling batshit crazy rhetoric.
It's unbelievable.
And that
and everybody who doesn't agree
crazy.
With Trump either gets fired, he gets called names, loser, gets called ugly. A sitting senator, the next vice president of the United States, gets called a monster. And, you know, that's who our president is. Hey, you know, that's not who America is, folks. And we're going to get back to
I don't know if you heard
Biden speak today when he appointed additional members of his cabinet. He's articulate. He's thought out. He's empathetic. He's passionate. He's sincere. And you compare how
quiet.
He speaks and what he says, quiet. Compared to Trump gets up there and just spews this stuff out. He makes stuff up. I won Georgia. I wonder, you know, nowhere in history, no time in history has Florida and Ohio not gone for the victor of the presidency. That's not exactly true, but and they did this time too. That means I won. Okay. Interesting. Hey, folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, Andy.
We needed Amanda to keep us grounded.
No, I love it. I love it. Amanda, hi, you're listening.
Oh, my. But, yeah, you know,
on the freaky, free flowing, furry Freak Brothers Friday.
This is just such a big news day. And of course, you know, there's other things. It's a short show today, so we can't get into other things, including the Hunter Biden investigation, which I want to talk about. That's real. There are some, you know, hey, we talk about the news here. If it's in the news, we talk about it. But anyway, I wanted to get to another tune because we only played one tune this show, and I want to get at least one more tune in before we go. So we're going to play, as a matter of fact, we're going to end the show with Jackson Browne's The Pretender. We're going to be back Monday live at 5 Pacific time and whatever time of it will be in your corner of the world, so be it, Monday, 515-605-9888. This show will rerun all weekend long on Blog Talk Radio. And we have like 1,400 listeners right now. We welcome aboard some new countries. We're in 15 countries around the world right now who listen to this show with followers. And we have Instagrams and all this stuff. We're really – this is the best show on the air, and thank you for it. It's the only show that joins the United Kingdom, except today, the United Kingdom and United States together for a live discussion, some fun, some entertainment, some music. And it's not like we know what we're talking about because we admittedly don't. But we do.
I want to say, C1, thank you for coming on and everything.
Oh, yeah. As we've said all along, we value everybody's opinion except, you know, if you get too ground up and start spewing stuff that's been thrown out of every court in the land and everybody, you know, just not happening. I don't know how these people surround them. Anyway, it's all another discussion. But anyway, we value everybody's opinion, and we also have to have conversations on the show, which means that somebody talks and somebody listens and somebody talks and somebody listens. But anyway, except me, I can just do all the talking. No.
But we don't have to listen.
You don't have to listen. Everybody shuts me off, which brings us to the title of this next song. It's called The Pretender. We have 3 minutes and 21 seconds left of the live stream. Then we go into our podcast. So some people might be cut off in 3 minutes. Those who are on podcast listening to the show on the podcast, you'll hear this song in its entirety. This is the Andy and Amanda program. On behalf of Chet in Hawaii and Cornell Butler in Delaware, myself, Andy Kimball, and normally Amanda Love in the UK.
Happy Hanukkah.
I got to go pick up my dinner from Gus's Barbecue in South Pasadena. Gus's Barbecue, thank you so much. We love you over there. Great. You got it. If you live in Los Angeles, and I know some of you live in Los Angeles who are listening to the show, actually a lot of you, you got to check out Gus's Barbecue on Fair Oaks in South Pasadena. The best. I wouldn't kid you. I wouldn't steer you wrong, just like I didn't steer you wrong with Kona beer. So let's hear Jackson Browne, The Pretender, here on the Andy and Amanda Show. One more thing. 515-605-9888. Jot it down. Feel free to join us anytime. We look forward to hearing from you. Take care, folks. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
The song with The Pretender. In the shade of the freeway, gonna pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. When the evening rolls around, I'm going home and lay my body down. When the morning light comes in, I get up and of an eye.
again. Started out so young and strong, only to surrender.